The University Tower chimes ring in another session of Ask the Professor, the radio show on which you match wits with University of Detroit Mercy professors in an unrehearsed session of questions and answers. I'm your host, Matt Mayo, and let me introduce to you our panel for today. From the Department of Education, Professor Diane Manica.
Good afternoon and evening.
Good afternoon and evening, because the sun goes down
it
so
is
quickly.
It's gone.
Feels like it's midnight.
Well, and then we don't have sun during the day because of the clouds.
That is true.
Or indoors.
That is also true. That is also true.
Oh, let's be depressing.
We have a good solid 7 months around here of nice weather, but it comes at a price. The devil must take his due.
Yes, we have winter and then road construction.
Yes,
and then winter again.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Sometimes they're mixed together.
Yeah.
Professor Greg Grobus is our guest panelist this week from theater. Good to have you back, Greg.
Yes, thanks for having me.
Absolutely. I don't know if we've even ever met directly before, Greg, but since I'm a parishioner at Shrine of the Little Flower, I know you very, very well. And I saw the advertisements last year for your album, so... Cool stuff.
I'd be glad to be a backup singer.
Awesome.
Yeah, keep
Dan also
up.
Is
keep
way in the back.
Way back.
But you guys had a concert there last year at the parish, right?
Yeah.
At the church?
And we have four concerts planned, another
great
one at the Shrine.
So. Okay, that sounds fun. I'll try to make it this
year. Wow, you stay busy.
Yes, he does. Yes, he does. Professor Dave Chow, however, is never busy.
Total slacker that I am. Absolute slacker.
Professor Jason Roach, what's going on, man? You know, we've been hearing a lot, and for those of you who don't know, my wife works at the Henry Ford, where the JFK assassination limo is on display. They've been getting a lot of press lately because of the 50th anniversary of JFK's assassination. It's amazing, bringing up Pearl Harbor, 9/11. The students are akin to realizing there's that event in your lifetime that you can never go back on, and listening to the people who remember about JFK, it's pretty interesting.
I know that was in the news last week.
Yeah.
The anniversary.
That's right.
I wish they could repaint that car and restore it to the way that it used to be before it was, well, burdened up with all of the additional security.
It seems the big news...
Not just with JFK's brains.
Right.
Well, that's been cleaned off long ago.
Right. But it seems like the buried news story of the week, even though it's not buried, so pseudo-buried, has been Jackie O's pink outfit, which apparently is owned by the family, and it's written into somebody's will exactly 100 years only. So we have to wait another 50 years.
But at 100 years, the descendants have to decide then.
That's right.
It will be,
that's
it's
right.
in the National Archives.
National Archives.
Wow. Do they have it cleaned?
Yeah.
No.
No, it was not cleaned.
It was folded, put in a box, and sent to her mother's house in Georgetown.
Yep,
Chanel,
something like
pink
that.
Pink Chanel suit.
Yep, exactly.
If they still have eBay in 50 more years... It'll be worth a lot.
Yeah, I bet it will be worth a lot.
Sure.
You could clone JFK. I mean, if the brain thing is still going on there.
But isn't
that
kind of creepy that the car is in a museum? And it's not. I get that there's historical interest, right, and historical appeal. It's not that I don't get that, but there just seems to me to be something kind of gruesome about it.
Well, the car was actively used for 14 more years.
That's
the government.
That is absolutely right.
Yeah, but that's not why it's in a museum.
I met one of the guys that rebuilt that car.
Now, Matt, ask your wife, isn't Abraham Lincoln's chair there?
The chair he was shot in with the blood stain on it? Yeah, is there as well.
With the blood stain on it?
Yep.
Yeah.
At the Lennon exhibit at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, they had the brown paper bag in which his clothes were put after he was shot. I guess there's a level at which the mementos approach the death in terms of nearness and intimacy that just makes me kind of creeped out.
You know what? The only defense I have is that if there's a place for a car to be well taken care of, it's the Henry Ford.
Oh, indeed.
Ford.
So it couldn't be in a better spot.
That
And it's in a row of other presidential limousines, too.
Including the Reagan
FDR.
One. Yep, exactly. Yep.
Wow. Oh, exactly.
Reagan was shot in is there, too. Yeah, I think it's the Reagan.
No.
Oh, it isn't?
No.
Okay.
One Reagan used.
It's one Reagan used.
Okay.
How many did he have?
Well, there's several.
Secret Service has a lot of them.
I don't know.
I guess I don't need to introduce Jim because he's pretty much taking us.
Jim who?
Jim, today's questions are presidential car history. Oh, my gosh. I can't
believe Now, when I was like 10 years old, I rode off to Hess and Eisenhart, the company in Indiana that rebuilt or turned that into a presidential limousine.
Sure.
They sent me... glossy pictures of the car and the different tops and things that could go on it.
And it was raining that morning.
Amazing.
If it hadn't stopped raining and cleared up, they wouldn't have had the top down.
Because the top is there on it at the Henry Ford. The top is on the limo. Yeah. Exactly. Hard top. Yeah. Professor Dan Maggio, what's shaking?
Not much. I'm enjoying. Let's see.
Now, where were you on the day that JFK was shot?
I wasn't born yet.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yep.
But thanks for thinking that I was.
We were just
giving you the opportunity to prove your age. So you weren't born yet.
Not quite.
Getting close.
It was just the thought in the back seat of somebody else's car. So.
Professor Beth Oljar.
Moving on.
I was as well, because my mom just had my brother a few months earlier.
And she was thinking, of the car.
I was in an accident, so.
Oh, my. Now, you've said that before, Beth. That's not my sister's problem.
Said I was a mistake.
Oh.
My mother said we were all happy accidents.
My.
I knew it was an accident I wasn't planned. Whatever.
Not being planned means you're still alive, right?
Yeah.
It's still a big deal.
And my mom didn't have to have her labor induced with me. She was always so proud of that. She went into labor all by herself instead of having to, have it induced.
It's actually a bunch of...
Thought that was a big accomplishment.
A cascade of chemical reactions, but that's for another
And
discussion.
An eager baby.
Yeah. Oh, yes.
She was mowing the lawn at like 10 in the morning.
I love it. I love it.
By 1 in the afternoon, I was there.
Well, if anything will induce labor, it's mowing the lawn.
That's incredible. That is incredible.
She had you an edge of the lawn afterwards, right?
My dad had just gotten home from the hospital with his first heart attack, so she was fine.
Oh, was it like tag team? What, your turn to go in, my turn to go out? What?
Ladies and gentlemen, professors, this is as best a segue as I possibly could ask for. Just to let you know, Kendra is in the hospital with labor.
Oh,
so
no.
Sadly, she's had labor since Sunday night, so we'll see how that goes.
Sunday night?
Yeah, it's been a while. She's been in early stages, and now it's going into...
Wait a minute, is this our first remote show then? Come on, let's go.
I believe that we'll be hearing about another baby Evans sometime soon.
Drugs.
Yep.
I say we just take the show outside the labor room and just go at it.
Mm.
Professor Chuck Hokut, bring us.
Wow,
all
I can't
the way
follow up on this one. We're talking about babies and everything.
Oh my God!
Poor Kendra.
Okay. My.
I'm doing fine, thank you.
So what's the last day that we can request services? Is it the 6th, the 9th?
So yeah, inexplicably, you need any support from you week of the 9th.
Okay, very cool.
Yeah.
Folks, this is a program where you can send us questions regarding anything. To stump the panel, you can win one of our prizes. You can send the questions to us in a number of ways. You can email us at atp@udmercy.edu. You can reach us on the web at udmercy.edu/atp. You can fax the profs at 313-993-1166 or send the questions USPS to the College of Liberal Arts and Education, University of Detroit Mercy, 4001 West McNichols Road, Detroit, Michigan, 48221-3038. We have a wonderful new set of questions here from Amy Dixon, who has been a frequent question sender. I will not give out her Gmail over the airwaves, but she sends her wishes with these words.
She's not common, then.
She's common. She's not a commoner. As I make my monthly pilgrimage from Port Angeles to Victoria, British Columbia, I have a few moments to come up with new questions for the show. It beats reading shoddy romance or doing Sudoku, I can tell you that. It also feels as though I'm contributing something to my own entertainment listening to your fine show. Attached are 25 questions all over the map that I hope challenges the panel. With any luck, I'll come up with 25 more on my return trip. Sincerely, Amy Dixon.
Getting work done on the ferry.
From B.C.
Impressive.
Yes, that's right.
Nice boat.
I believe she lists herself as from Tacoma, usually. Is that what she says?
Yeah. Port Angeles. Isn't that
Port Angeles, yep. Mm-hmm. So I wonder why she's going. Is it just that time of year? Something going on?
It's just cool.
It's cool.
Go up to Puget Sound.
Go up the Sound.
To Canada.
That's cool. What was the name of Charles Lindbergh's Pulitzer Prize winning autobiography?
Alone.
That's not what it says
here. Oh, no, that was his flight. The book he wrote about his flight.
Okay.
His autobiography.
Across the World?
No, a Pulitzer
Aviator?
Prize. What's that?
The Aviator?
No. That was Leonardo DiCaprio.
My child actually is dead. No, that would be.
Oh, no.
No.
Oh, we're
bad.
Do you mind if I say we're skirting the issue here?
That is nasty.
Oh.
Well, he believed... I
would expect that from Professor Roach, but you?
He believed it, and it's true, despite all this garbage about people claiming to be the Lindbergh baby.
If I say anything else, I'm just going to give it away, so I'll give you one more clue. It's a really obvious title.
Charles Lindbergh?
No.
Flight the Spirit Airplane.
Of St. Louis? My autobiography. The Spirit of St. Louis was the name of his autobiography. Oh. The Spirit of St. Louis, okay. Yes. We're very proud of Charles Lindbergh. He's a former Detroiter.
I'm sorry, I was so off color about the baby.
Oh, Paulie's. You're forgiving.
It's okay.
Yeah, it's
all awesome. Look. Trust me. Limos are one thing, but where are the standards on this show? You know?
I have none, and they still let me teach ethics. So how frightening is that?
Can you believe it?
Lack thereof.
Yeah.
Name three sport and sport activities where, in order to win, the winning participants move backwards.
Curling?
Curling.
It does not say curling. I don't know if you would say that the participants, they go forward.
Moonwalking?
Rowing. Rowing.
Rowing, yes, yeah. Rowing, sure.
Move backwards.
What if I said Michael Phelps?
Backstroke.
Backstroke.
Backstroke. And last but not least, little, very, very few people know that this is actually an Olympic sport. It's kind of embarrassing that it is, but it's kind of fun because it's kind of a schoolyard game.
Hopscotch?
Not hopscotch.
Tetherball?
Tetherball, no.
Four square doesn't count.
Volleyball doesn't. No.
Jump rope?
All you need to do this, it's not jump rope, but all you need to do this is a rope.
Tug of war.
Tug of war. You were backwards to win the game.
That's an Olympic sport?
It is in the test phase.
No, it's not.
No. It's good for TV.
It was originally.
I'm not joking. Why is baseball suddenly coming back? Because we're in South America. Oh my.
It'd be interesting if they put the fire pit in the middle instead of
there it is. Crocodiles.
Where have we all been?
Okay, I feel bad about the Lindbergh baby caught up.
I'm going to be forced to watch Tug of War sport. I want to be excited.
Nobody's going to make you watch it. It's just knowing that it's there.
I think a large slimy mud pit would be good enough.
No, but think about it. Nobody would want to shoot for the silver medal then. That's all. That's true. There'd be one medal and charred remains.
Actually, that's kind of interesting. Imagine the three plinths and the gold, they're perfectly clean. Silver's covered and bronze is perfectly clean. It makes perfect sense.
All charred.
Only one person on planet Earth, who used to live on planet Earth, is an American and had some of their ashes scattered on the surface of the moon of our planet.
The moon?
Who was it?
Because I know, like, Jimmy Dewan.
It was not an astronaut. It was an astronomer.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
With a very interesting compound last name, has a comet named after him.
Halley Pop.
Not Haley.
His first name was Eugene.
American astronomers.
I'm surprised.
Yeah.
I mean, I was obsessed with comets in fourth grade because that was the last time that Haley was here, if you can imagine that. But this is Eugene Shoemaker is his name. Shoemaker was a very, very famous American astronomer, and we're going to have to take a break while we get over that question. We are back with some great questions from Amy Dixon, way, way up in the northwest of the United States. Coming at you now.
God's country.
And also southwest Canada.
What are the four Major League Baseball teams? I know we've had this question before, but it's a great one. Four Major League Baseball teams that do not have a person in a mascot suit at their games.
The Yankees?
No, the Mets have Mr. Mett.
Oh, yeah.
With the Giants?
Yankees.
Is that really
no, pause.
The Yankees do not have a mascot.
Pause.
Steinbrenner is too cheap.
I should have known.
The Red Sox actually have a mascot.
They do?
They have a green thing.
Yeah.
The green monster.
Yeah, I was going to say the bearded man. Oh,
yeah, exactly. Boo, Red Sox, boo.
The Cubs?
Cubs don't have a mascot. Yes.
There's one that you would think would have a mascot.
Yeah, because that one would be cute.
They've got an obvious mascot, but they just don't.
Colorado Rockies?
No, the Rockies have a mascot. They have a moose.
How about the Diamondbacks?
Diamondbacks have a giant snake guy. Oh, yeah,
that's
a
kinky beast.
The Royals?
This would have been a team that started in New York and then ended up on the West Coast.
Dodgers.
And a team, probably the team with the most name changes in the last 15 years. As in, not the name of the mascot, but where they're from.
Oh, Anaheim.
Anaheim.
Mighty Angels.
Yes, the Mighty Angels.
Mighty Angels.
Our producer is Angels in the Outfield. Thank you very much. Thank you very much. Yeah, the L.A. Angels of Anaheim. That was just too many A's in a row. I actually saw a game once where in the Fox box it said L-A-A-A. It was like, la. I'm like, Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim. You know why that's a big issue, right? You know who owns the Angels? Come on.
Was it
Disney?
Oh.
Disney owns the Angels.
Didn't Gene Autry own them at one point?
Really?
Gene Autry,
when they were the California Angels, yes, I bet. Really. During what Olympics were women allowed to run in the marathon? First time.
In Mexico City?
64.
Wasn't 64. Wasn't 68.
Earlier than that?
72.
It was later than 72? That. 72? Sadly, 76? It was later than 76.
Wow. 80.
Wait. I'm seeing a pattern.
Sold.
The American, let's see, American Joan Benoit won 1984 L.A.
Oh, yes. Okay.
Isn't that horrible? Isn't that horrible? The marathon. What's so special about the marathon? Anybody could do that.
Yeah, right.
Anybody that I've can seen run a lot of stickers miles. On the back of cars that say
you sure
anybody.
The neighborhood she had to run through in L.A. Oh, I'm kidding.
I had to do a double take with my glasses because Joan Benoit looks a lot like Joaquin Benoit, the Tigers closer. So I had to do a double take there. What's the name of the character who's the immediate superior to the $6 million man and the Bionic Woman?
Oscar Goldman.
Yes, do you remember who was
played by? Richard Anderson.
Richard Anderson. You got it. Very, very good.
Dan Maggio's doppelganger.
Huh? Oh. Really?
No, I'm kidding.
Wow, I'm missing something.
I can picture
here.
Him in his glasses.
I'm embarrassed to say I've never seen either show, ever.
Oh, you can catch it. It's on 8 o'clock
TV
at night.
TV Land.
Kozai TV, whatever
channel.
Oh,
really?
Yeah. Isn't that MTV? No, MeTV.
The Bionic Woman after that.
Lizzie Wagner.
Jamie Summers was really cool.
Yeah,
super cool.
Kind of wanted to be her for a while.
Cool. I just want to buy a mattress off of that woman. Oh, kidding.
Well, that's right.
she sells comfort.
Sleep number something, yeah.
What was the port of registry for the RMS Lusitania?
Liverpool.
It was Liverpool, yes. I knew that a ship question was not going to slip by Professor Tubbs.
Cunard and White Star were both registered in Liverpool. Mm.
King of the Cruises over here, I mean.
I would be, I've seen ships. HMS before, RMS, HMS Her Majesty's
Royal
ship.
Royal Mail Ship.
Royal,
that's
okay.
What RMS
okay.
Mail ship?
Mm-hmm.
Hmm.
Mail is an
M-A-I-L.
Okay, I just want to double check. Wow. I wasn't sure. Okay.
Whereas HMS stands for Her Majesty's Ship.
Right, exactly. That's where I was
her
coming
ship.
From.
Her mail ship. Oh.
What is the largest island within the confines, the friendly confines, the deep, cold confines of Lake Superior?
Isle Royale.
Isle Royale is what it says here. Absolutely. If you've ever been there, it's
pretty much
the quietest place on earth.
Gorgeous.
Gorgeous. What is the only U.S. national park to entirely close for the winter? There is only one.
Is it in Alaska?
Yosemite.
It's not Yosemite. It's not Alaska. For the record, my guess would have been Mackinac because of the military cemetery, but they are open all winter long.
Yellowstone?
You just need to take
national,
the thing
though.
Across the...
National Park.
Yellowstone.
I believe part of Mackinac is National Park, the military cemetery.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Hmm. Here's a hint.
Glacier?
We were just talking about it.
Isle Royale.
It's Isle Royale National Park.
That's a national park?
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
Now,
yeah,
if
I
remember
it's
correctly,
probably not real nice there right now.
Well, and for the next few weeks and months,
yes.
Yeah. The people on Mackinac rely on the freezing of the strait so that they can get back and forth, because there's no cars there, on their snowmobiles to get into St. Ignace and get supplies. But they have to wait for the water to freeze. So they go into this zone where the ships can't travel and they can't walk across. So it's trouble. Very interesting.
Oh, that is trouble.
Oh, they can't walk across and yet...
They usually do. They say they take gentle strolls over to St. Ignace. It's kind of interesting.
Hmm.
Wow. In what city was talk show host / actor Arsenio Hall born? Now, before we even answer, what happened to his new show? Is it already canceled? That's what I was going to ask.
It's on like 11:30 on CW, I think.
I didn't know he had a new
show. Is it still on? Yeah. Okay.
I didn't know he had a new show either.
Well, no.
So what city is he from? Before I blow it any further.
What city?
Yeah. Philadelphia?
Not Philly.
Los Angeles?
Midwest.
Chicago.
Detroit.
St. Louis.
Oh. We all thought this city was on a Great Lake.
Cleveland.
He's originally from Cleveland.
I think we know.
Blew it. What singer was born Stephanie Joanne Angelina Germanotta? That should actually
Lady
be
Gaga.
Yeah, it's Lady Gaga. Mm-hmm.
Oh, she's just on Saturday
Night. She looks like a Stephanie, whatever it was.
Stephanie German.
We're wearing the meat dress? Yes.
There's something about people who dress in that many different costumes during a show and being Italian, apparently, according to Madonna. That's pretty interesting.
Actually, she was just in town recently.
That's right.
Yeah, showing her daughter off at U of M.
The rumor was they were checking out the theater program at Ann Arbor, but they never showed for the interview. It's
come on, go recruit. Go recruit.
Oh, there you go. Get Lourdes Leon. Is that her last name? Mm-hmm. According to the 1985 concert Live Aid's organizer, Bob Geldof, which group did he say stole the show at Wembley?
Queen.
Queen, absolutely.
That was pretty awesome.
For Live Aid.
Yeah, that is pretty awesome.
Absolutely.
I remember
it was a very
that.
Good show. Yeah.
Did you watch that?
Mm-hmm. I did, yeah.
Cool. Very cool.
Yes, I was born then.
Oh. I assume, Beth, that you were born after 1984.
Yeah, she was born during the concert.
Oh, wow.
And listen to the second half.
Oh, my gosh. Wow.
Cut the umbilical cord with
the Gabbano.
It was
a huge deal.
It was a big deal.
Yes, it was.
It was a big deal.
Was it? Do you remember Phil Collins catching the Concorde back and forth?
Really? Just to be there?
No, he played Philadelphia and...
Wasn't there another act that did it?
Oh, wow.
No, that was just Phil Collins.
Was it just Phil?
Weird.
Yeah, but Queen brought the house down at Wembley. It was
pretty
really
cool.
Awesome.
In what city is the Royal Canadian Mint?
Winnipeg.
It is. It's in Winnipeg, Manitoba.
Are the Mounties headquartered there too?
I'm sure they're surrounding it now.
Mounties!
Any part of Canadian history that would tell us why the Mint is there? Why not Toronto or Montreal?
They probably dug up the ore close by.
Well, yeah. Manitoba's
it's a really big country. They've got to do something with some places besides Montreal and Toronto and Winter
and Vancouver.
I mean, Charlotte, North Carolina used to have a federal mint, but it was only because they mined it nearby.
Oh, right, see?
Probably. And Denver.
That makes sense. Denver, but Philly doesn't make sense except for it would have been the first place we started, right?
Right.
What is a group name of ferrets? So you got a bunch of little ferret animals around. Mm-hmm. What are they called? We're calling this a blank of ferrets.
A gang.
It's not a gang. It's not a gang.
A gaggle.
Not a gaggle.
Geese, isn't it?
Starts with the letter B.
Bunch. A band.
A faculty.
It's so interesting you bring that up, Jim, because I sent an email out to a small group of faculty the other day and had them agree to meet at a certain time. And after the meeting was set, they all emailed me back individually in the next 5 minutes
to
say,
I can't meet them.
We can't meet them. Yeah. And I was reminded of Kathy's smiling face shining down from heaven saying, babysitter for PhDs, Mayo. I'm a babysitter for PhDs.
Cat herder.
Not that I could even compete with Kathy, but it's a business of ferrets. It's a business.
Business.
Who knows what business they up to, but they are a business of ferrets.
That's weird.
What singer self-coined the goddess of pop? Self-coined herself the goddess of pop.
Lady Madonna. Gaga again?
Not Lady Gaga.
Madonna.
Not Madonna. Although that sort of fits, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Mariah Carey.
Not Mariah Carey. You're all in the wheelhouse.
Whitney Houston?
Think 70s era.
Oh.
Cher.
Wow.
I
was about to say, think 70s era 80s and up 90s. To this very day.
That's probably pretty close.
The cool thing is that on 104.3, they still play, well, okay, for those of us who were young in the 70s, they still play Gypsies, Tramps, and Thieves, and
Half-Breed.
It's
a great song.
Yeah.
It's
like, oh,
absolutely.
It's so cool.
In Cab Calloway's Jive Speak, define a set of seven brights. A set seven of seven brights.
It could be a horn section.
No.
No.
No. He's referring to a concept. This reminds me just a little bit of, remember the question set we had where it was the waiter and waitress speak for different dishes you order at a diner?
Yes, that was great.
Yeah, this
is
in the same
vein. Is it a bunch of hidey, hidey, hoes? Or?
Well, think about the number.
Seven.
The dwarves?
They weren't that bright.
Oh. Candlesticks.
Especially dopey. No, no, not
seven.
Candlesticks.
What comes in sevens?
Let's see, what if I said TGIF?
7 days?
Yeah, it's a week.
It's a week. Oh,
oh, great. Calloway's
seven brights.
Seven brights.
Well, not around here.
Seven grays.
No wonder we could
slightly less darker.
Scattered sunshine, as they say in Great Britain.
I'm very familiar with this quote because I once wrote a report on this person and then read a couple autobiographies since, and just a fantastic individual in terms of being a humorist who once said, diplomacy is the art of saying nice doggy until you find a rock. It's such a great quote. Such a great quote.
Sounds like it could be Ben Franklin.
You know, it's in that vein. So if you would have said, let's say, 20s, 30s, 40s era, who is the new Ben Franklin in that vein? Who would it have been?
Will
Rogers. Yeah. Yes, absolutely.
That's awesome.
Absolutely. It's such a great
one. So you find a rock.
And I think only that was Franklin Roosevelt's concept,
oh,
actually.
Oh, really?
Well, yeah. You know, everybody comes to see you, and they leave thinking that you completely agree with them, and then you do whatever you want.
I just think that the thing about Rogers, I'm thinking of actually the show Will Rogers Follies, which I just fell in love with the first time it came out. It's like listening to that twang say the lines made it everything that it was. You know, we can't just have me saying it. It doesn't do it justice. What famous Ivy League school was Vincent Price's alma mater?
Yale.
Yale. You remember what he majored in?
Theater.
It says it here. No, it wasn't theater.
Philosophy.
Oh, a literature.
No. It says art history.
Art history.
Oh. It's reputable. That's what Brad Pitt says in Mr. and Mrs. Smith when he has to confess that he was an art history major. She's, you know, they're spies, and yeah, you know, she just looks at him and she's like, art? And he goes, art history. It's reputable.
I love it. Vincent Price was also a lifelong fan of this amusement park ride and actually narrated a 1987 documentary made on the ride. What ride is it?
The Cyclone in New York?
Yes. No. It actually not something specific. It's a general version
roller
of the ride.
Roller coaster.
Coast roller coaster. Oh, did you know this, Jason?
No, it's just the most common amusement park ride. Yeah, that's true. Out there.
Well, we look to our guy who knows his documentaries to answer these questions, but how interesting. I mean, it's just the sort of thing where you probably wouldn't have, you know, James Earl Jones reading
like
a kid's book, you know, things like that.
Spooky or something like that.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, that must have been really weird, you know?
Or the teacup ride with Vincent Price spinning around.
Spinning
the tilt and hurl.
There was another ride that he narrated, specifically narrated, when they made the version of the Haunted Mansion from Disney World in Paris. He was the original narrator, but sadly, the tapes are gone forever, essentially, because they did not like the fact that he spoke the whole thing in English.
Oh.
Had to say it in French to make it for real. So, kind of cool. Who was the last U.S. president to have facial hair while they were in office? You know, I think that this sounds about right.
Barbara Bush.
Oh my.
Oops.
I think you just got removed from somebody's Christmas card.
I'll be doing the remote from Windsor next
week. You say, how about Lincoln?
It wasn't Lincoln, so we're going to go a little bit further on.
Garfield.
Wasn't Roosevelt.
Taft.
Taft is what it says here.
Taft.
He had the huge stash.
Yeah, big stash.
Yep.
And a big body. They had to get a giant-sized bathtub.
Oh, man. I'll let you guys think about William Howard Taft's bathtub, but first, we're going to say goodbye. Professor Hokett.
Goodbye.
Professor Oljar.
Goodbye.
Professor Maggio.
Goodbye.
Professor Tubbs.
Bye.
Professor Roach.
Until next time.
Professor Chow.
See ya.
Professor Grobus.
Goodbye.
Professor Manica.
Bye now.
And now these words from the University of Detroit Mercy.
Email your questions to atp@udmercy.edu, or you may fax them to 313-993-1166. Attention, Ask the Professor.
Ask the Professor is transcribed at the facilities of the Briggs Building in the Department of Communication Studies in the College of Liberal Arts and Education at the University of Detroit Mercy's McNichols campus. Ask the Professor today is produced and technically directed by Adam Winbigler. Our executive producer is Dr. Vivian Dix. And until next week, I'm still your host, Matt Mile.